congregation please rise in our entrance hymn as hymn number 864, Praise My Soul, the God of Heaven, in 864.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
Our hymn of praise this Epiphany season is hymn number 310, verses 1 and 4 only today. Hymn number 310, Songs of Thankfulness and Praise, verses 1 and 4.
Ashland and I are tag-teaming today, so. The first reading is from Deuteronomy 18. Oh, that's your part.
The first reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. In this reading, Moses assures the people that God will continue to guide them through the prophets who will proclaim the divine word. This is part of a longer discourse in Deuteronomy, an updating of the law for the Israelite community as the people wait to enter the promised land.
The Lord your God will rise up for you a prophet like me among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet. This is what you requested of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly when you said, "If I hear the voice of the Lord, my God, anymore, or ever again see this great fire, I will die." Then the Lord replied to me, "They are right in what they have said. I will rise them up a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command. Anyone who does not heed the words that the prophet shall speak in my name, I myself will hold accountable. But any prophet who speaks in the name of, or who presumes to speak in my name a word that I have not commanded the prophet to speak, that prophet shall die." The word of the Lord.
Thanks.
The Psalm for the Day, 111. Praise the Lord.
I will give thanks to the Lord with my whole heart.
In the company of the upright in the congregation.
Great are your works, O Lord.
Pondered by all who delight in them.
Full of honor and majesty are your works.
And your righteousness endures forever.
You are remembered by the wonderful deeds you do.
You are gracious and merciful.
You provide food.
You are ever mindful of your covenants and promises.
You have shown your people the power of your works.
In giving them the heritage of the nations.
The works of your hands are faithful and just.
All your precepts are trustworthy.
They are established forever and ever.
To be performed with faithfulness and uprightness.
You have sent.
You have commanded your covenant forever.
Holy and awesome is your name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
All those who practice it have a good understanding.
The Lord's praise endures forever.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading for today is 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 through 13. The Apostle Paul is concerned about the way some Corinthian Christians use their freedom in Christ as a license to engage in non-Christian behavior that set a damaging impression to other impressionable believers. Christians have a responsibility to each other that their behavior does not cause another to sin.
Now concerning food sacrificed to all idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Anyone who claims to know something that does not yet have the necessary knowledge, but anyone who loves God is known by God. Hence, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that no idol in the world really exists, and there is no God but one. Indeed, even though there may be so-called gods in heaven or earth, as in fact there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, from whom all things are and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus the Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. It is not for everyone, however, who has this knowledge. Since some have become so accustomed to idols until now, they still think of the food they eat as food offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Food will not bring us close to God. We are no worse off if we do not eat, and no better off if we do. But take care that this liberty of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if others see you, who possess knowledge, eating in the temple of the island, idol, might not they, since their conscience is weak, be encouraged to the point of eating food sacrificed to idols? So by your knowledge, whose weak believers for whom Christ died are destroyed. But when you thus sin against members of your family and wound their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Therefore, if food is a cause of their falling, I will never eat meat so that I may not cause any one of them to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at Jesus' teaching, for Jesus taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then, There was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him down in convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, came out of him. And they were all amazed. And they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority? He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once, Jesus' fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. The text for today's sermon is from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter. Let's pray in preparation for the sermon at this time. Lord, now let the meditation of each heart and the words I'm about to speak be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength, our sustainer, and our redeemer. Amen. The Gospel of Mark, more than any other Gospel writer, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, emphasizes Jesus' miraculous power to heal and exorcise, as in exorcism. Of the 18 miracles recorded in Mark's Gospel, 13 have to do with healing. And 4 of the 13 have to do with exorcisms, or the releasing of demons, evil or otherwise. The amazing thing here in this Gospel reading is not the miracle of Jesus healing the demoniac, the guy with the demon, but it's the words that Jesus has used and the response to the forces of evil that dominate the world and the man in the Gospel, and how they listen to him. Listen again. Just then there was in their synagogue, in church. Okay, so the question is, how did this guy get into church? Well, a whole other sermon could be that many of us are afflicted with evil spirits and that kind of thing, who even come to church, but we won't go down that rabbit hole. Just then, in their synagogue, there was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" Or another translation is, "What do we have in common? You and I, the evil spirit. I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Now, that's amazing unto itself, folks. The people who should know who Jesus is don't recognize him and don't know him. But the evil spirits and the evil in the world, they know who Jesus is. He's the Holy One of God. Okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. But Jesus rebuked the evil spirit and said, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying out, came out of him. The forces of evil know who Jesus is and the healing power of Jesus and his word. The forces of evil know who Jesus is and what Jesus can do. We are celebrating this season of Epiphany. Okay, Epiphany means to be shown forth, bright light, banner, Star of Bethlehem. For up to 2 years, the wise men followed the Star of Bethlehem banner, looking for the Holy One of God. The epiphany here is that the people who should know who Jesus is don't. And the ones who do know him are the forces of evil and the demons, and the people who fight against Jesus and God. Jesus sees a man, a child of God, who is suffering in need of relief. After all, he was in the synagogue. He wasn't at Ken's Market or in the bar at the bowling alley. He was in the synagogue. He was worshiping. Jesus sees a man, a child of God, who is suffering in need of relief. Jesus possessed not only by power and compassionate desire to heal the man, then speaks a word to him, a creative word by God. Mark wants to show us that words of Jesus have effect on the world. Words are powerful. All you have to do is be an elementary school kid on the playground and be bullied by another boy or another girl, and it can be hurtful. Words have power. And we, children of God, know that better than any demon or evil one. We can be evil unto ourselves. The words of Jesus are powerful. Jesus' word is action, is what Mark's trying to get at here. First Communion students, I think I see one out of the eight. No, two, three. Oh, yay, it's a miracle. I got my First Communion students here. Yay, three out of the eight are here today. That's a good thing. We've been learning for the past couple weeks in First Communion about the power of God's word. Because Jesus' word is God's word. Think of creation. God spoke creation into being. Last week, we talked about our favorite animals, and we were around the whole table, all nine of us, and said what our favorite animals were. White tiger, I remember you. God spoke creation into being. Words are powerful. And what Jesus is showing here is God's grace. Where have you heard that? People in the front row, I'm not going to just pick on the back rows. God's grace. Yeah, I heard about it. It's a good thing. Yeah, grace upon grace. Yeah. God's grace is what? First Communion students, I'm not going to pick on you, but you're here. Thank you. God's grace is God's love in action and God's undeserved love. Jesus is putting God's grace to work here with the demoniac, the guy possessed by an evil spirit. And God speaks, Jesus speaks a word of healing, and the evil spirit has to respond. Now, I love it, because if you listen closely, Jesus rebuked the evil spirit, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing the man into convulsions and crying out with a loud voice, he wasn't listening to Jesus, came out of him. And yet, evil in the world and evil spirits cannot fight against God and God's word. What Mark wants you to realize, we're still in chapter 1 of Mark, folks. It's going to be a long year, this marking year. Chapter 1, only verse 21 through 28. Mark wants you and the current teacher to know that Jesus is God's word. Jesus is God's grace, God's love in action. And when Jesus speaks, people listen, and things get done. Just like at creation, just like John 1:1, my favorite gospel of them all. Go home and dig your Bibles out. John 1:1 through 14, that beautiful hymn. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through the Word, capital T, capital W. Who is the Word that we talk about in the church? It's Jesus the Christ. Jesus is the Word. Jesus was there at creation. Jesus was there at the beginning of time, along with the Holy Spirit, the wind, the breath of God that blew over chaos. But it's God's Word that brings healing and power to creation and humanity. Jesus went to Capernaum, or Capernaum, okay, potato, potato. I was taught by a guy from Israel that it's Capernaum. Jesus went to Capernaum when the Sabbath came, and he entered the synagogue. He was a good Jewish boy. He went to church. Thank you for being here, by the way. Yeah, I didn't think I'd see you this weekend. He went to church. He entered the synagogue and taught. And the people in the synagogue were astounded at his teaching. Who is this Yahoo? Who is this Jesus, son of Joseph, or Jesus of Nazareth? They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Ha! There's a diss. He taught them as one with authority, not as the pastors and priests. Uh-oh. Authority here, that's an important word. He taught them with authority. Authority means action. When a policeman who's an authority tells you to do something, you act. You roll down your window, you hand your license, you hand your registration. You do what he says because he's an authority. You act. The divine power is shown here through Jesus' teaching, even. Before he does the exorcism, before he does the healing of the man, his authority is known, and they're astounded and amazed. When have you ever heard a man or a woman giving a lecture or a speech or whatever, and you were amazed at their authority? It doesn't happen often enough. A couple times in college and a couple times in seminary, I just sat in my chair with my mouth hanging open going, wow. But it didn't happen every class. It didn't happen every week. But there are those times when someone speaks with authority, and with authority that means action. Jesus spoke with authority and action because he was speaking God's grace, God's love in action, First Communion students, and God's undeserved love. It's God's word that liberates the world from the forces of evil and makes our world able to be lived in by us as humans and all creation. It's God's word that guides the church to create spaces of freedom and places of healing and communion. And that's important. It's nothing that Pastor Beat does. It's nothing that you do individually. It's what we do collectively as the body of Christ. We create spaces of freedom and places of healing and communion. When we can come and we can say, take and eat, this is Christ's body. Take and drink, this is Christ's blood, First Communion students. That'll be happening next Sunday for you. You'll be given that gift, that word spoken in your midst, a gift of action. And as we take the body, and as we take the blood, the bread and the wine, we remember the action that God did for you and for your parents and your aunts and your uncles and your nieces and your nephews and now all of the family. The action that God did for you all when he stretched out his arms and he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. They don't have a clue. But thy will be done. You will save the whole world by my sacrifice, by my death. And so they don't forget it. We come to the table, the altar, and we remember every week. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. How many of you saw this past week the remembrance shows, documentaries, and movies about the Holocaust? They were everywhere. I went to the old movie channel that I like, you know, Turner Classic Movies, because I like the comedies and the musicals and all that, and they didn't have any comedies or musicals. I took a very intensive course in college about the Holocaust. I've seen way more, read way more, and heard way more than I really ever wanted to. But we're to remember. During this week, there were people in Israel and Gaza, the Palestinians and the Hebrews, saying, do we still remember? Are we repeating history by killing one another? Do this in remembrance of me. Those words are important. This is my body given for you. This is my blood shed for you. Those words are important because they bring creation and creative freedom into our lives. A place of healing and communion with one another. For Mark, healing miracles are really important. There were 18 more than any other gospel in Mark's gospel. And Mark is the shortest gospel of all. Go figure. Healing is important. But even more important than the healing, the miracle is Jesus' words. That he speaks and he acts with authority. Jesus is the embodiment of God's grace, God's love in action. And what did we do? We killed him for it. We don't need God's love. We don't need God. We don't need to be baptized. We don't need to have First Communion. We don't need to be confirmed. We don't need any of that stuff. Oh, yes, you do. Because God's word is a healing word. Not only physically, not only really, but also with freedom and healing and communion. Just then there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit. And he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth?" That's the same question we can ask ourselves. What do we allow Jesus of Nazareth, the Holy One of God, to do with us? Together as our faith. God has made us the people of God through our baptisms into Christ, living together in trust and in hope. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to death. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Today in the prayers of the church, we remember in our church, our prayers of the church, Reverend Elizabeth Eaton and Reverend Megan Manlove, our bishops of the National Church Body and Synodical. We pray for the Rising Star Therapeutic Center in Twin Falls. We pray for the staff, the horses, and the riders. Nationally and around the world, we pray for all those who have lost life and property, especially to the wars in Ukraine, Russia, Sudan, Gaza, and Israel. We also pray for those who have lost life and livelihood due to natural disasters across our nation. And then we certainly pray for all firefighters, law enforcement officers, EMTs, and first responders to each of these crises. Then due to death this past week, we pray for Rosalie Finlayson, who died on Monday, this last Monday, and whose funeral will be in Mountain Home this next Tuesday. She is the sister of Arnie Burgermeister and Edith Cobb. So remember Rosalie in our prayer. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus, for the church, for all of God's creation, for all people who are in need. Almighty God, we pray for the church. Loving God, we pray that your example of teaching with confidence and authority builds up your church in love and grace. May all leaders, ministers, and people in the church honor you and your grace and your acceptance of each other. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer and let your light shine. Creator God, we pray for the earth and all creation. O God, our hope and our refuge, you place birds in the air, on the land and in the water. Guide the care of birds and creatures that live in the air, land, and water. May fields flourish, rivers flow pure and clean. May the heavens shine brightly with your light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Sovereign God, Prince of Peace, we pray for the nations of the world. O God, you desire peace and justice in the world. God, who proclaims judgment and offers mercy, be a model to the leaders of our nation and the world. Provide relief for those in war-torn areas of the world. Take from us all hatred, fear, evil, violence, and war. Instead, let us show mercy, compassion, love, grace, and hope to one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful God, we pray for all those in need. Lord, protect and cherish the most vulnerable among us. Comfort your people and bring healing to all who are suffering in body, mind, or spirit, especially those we now name before you in our own hearts and in our own minds. Be Emmanuel, God with us, to those who look to you for hope and healing. Be with those who are depressed, grieving, lonely or isolated. Give patience to those waiting for answers. Grant hope to those who have reached the limits of treatment. Give compassionate hearts to those who accompany loved ones through illness and uncertainty. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Lord God, we pray for this congregation. We give you thanks for St. John's Lutheran Church and all of the ministry you are faithfully a part of. In this new year, we give you thanks for all the gifts and resources you provide for us to minister to one another. Fill us anew with your spirit, your joy, your love, your new life, and your hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Lord of life, we pray for those who have died. We give you thanks for all those who now rest in you. Especially this day, we lift up Rosalie. Give us calm and peaceful hearts. Be with us in our grief and our sorrow. Be with us in our joy and our celebration for the lives of those whom we love. Turn our mourning into the joy and new life and hope in you. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer and let your light shine.
Almighty God, you know our prayers even before we pray them. We look to you in hope and trust, peace and joy, knowing that you'll do far more for us than we can ever ask or imagine. All these things, whatever else you see that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of your Son, Jesus the Christ,
who died and rose again and now lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Welcome to worship at St. John's Lutheran Church, American Falls, Idaho, this morning. Today in the church year is the fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Especially welcome to all of you who are here visiting with us today in person and those who are worshiping with us by listening to the radio station or the internet broadcast. Happy birthday today to Brenda Henricks. Happy birthday this week to Jim Glarborg, Charlie Redeen, Sharon Strom, Tyler Rowe, Bryson Bauer, Cody Porth, Josh Zavison, Gary Gehring. AF Daily Bread will be held tomorrow, January 29th, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m. in St. John Fellowship Hall. The meal will be provided by the Christian Motorcycle Association. The menu will include baked chicken, mashed potatoes, vegetables, and desserts. Dishwasher ministers are needed. Contact Pat Lute if you're available to help out. Thank you. See you all there. The annual St. John's Lutheran Church Pancake and Sausage Supper will be held on Monday, February 12th, 2024, 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Are there any other announcements not found in the worship bulletin or corrections or additions to the ones found there? I invite the communion assistants and acolytes to come forward at this time to prepare for Holy Communion. Our offertory hymn is hymn 182. Let the vineyards be fruitful, Lord. We sing it now as our offertory hymn and in preparation for Holy Communion.
Thank you.
took bread and gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave for all, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people, for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom always, and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. We remain standing prepared for the Eucharist by singing the hymn "Lamb of God" found on page 146 in the front of the hymn. Thank you. Please rise for the blessing, the post-communicatical hymn number 208, and the prayer. The blessing first. Now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen.
Hymn 208. Wow. So 613, pay attention to the words, sing it like you mean it. It's our sending hymn.